Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Samech Ches. We left off at the very last couple of words of daf Samech Zayin Amvez at Amar Rabbi Akiva. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Ali Lindishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadin for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, they should return home safely. Also by the Klein family for Refuah Shleima, for Esther Rachel Basim Aliba, she should have Refuah Shleima Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael, and also by Robert Fagan in memory of Judith Fessel Goldsman, Yehudis Bas Shimshon and Neshama Shavin Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to finish up the 7th Parak of Masech Sanhedrin with the story of what seems to be the last visit that the Tanaim ever paid to Rabbi Eliezer. And the reason it's brought up over here is that it seems to prove that Rabbi Akiva learned Hilchus Kishuin, which we were discussing when it comes to Kishuv, from Rabbi Eliezer and not from Rabbi Yoshua. So we're going to have a lot of details about that visit, but that's the reason we're bringing up that topic. Then, Beth Shem, we're going to begin the 8th parak of Masech Sanhedrin, parak Ben Sorer Umore. And the Mishnah is going to tell us about who qualifies to be a Ben Sorer Mora. The Gemara is going to talk about how we know that a Katan cannot be a Ben Sorer Mora. He has to be a Bar Mitzvah already. And also how we know that the father of a Ben Sorer Mora cannot be a Katan. That the father has to be someone who's an Ish Velo Katan as well. So let's begin again at the very last couple of words. Amar Rabbi Akiva V'chulei. So now we are on the top of Samech Ches Amud Aleph. So from the Lashon of the Mishnah, it implies that Rabbi Akiva learned the halachos of Lakitas Kishuim, utilizing Kishuv from Rabbi Yoshua. The halachos of someone who's mechashev and is therefore able to gather together gourds, that he learned these halachos from Rabbi Yoshua. So, frek the Gemara, vaha Rabbi Akiva me Rabbi Yoshua gamirla. Did Rabbi Akiva really learn these halachos from Rabbi Yoshua? Va'atanya, but doesn't the Brisa tell us, kishachala Rabbi Eliezer, nichnasu Rabbi Akiva v'chaver of Levakro, that when Rabbi Eliezer got sick, Rabbi Akiva and his chaverim went to be mevaker Rabbi Eliezer, who Yoshev Bakinov Shalom, and Rabbi Eliezer was sitting in his canopy, so he was in like a canopy bed where there were posts all around it. Vehein Yoshvin Betraklin Shalom, and they were sitting in the on the porch of his house. Va'osa Yom Erev Shabbos Haya, and that day happened to have been Erev Shabbos, so it was getting close to Shabbos time. And they apparently were delayed because they were so tarut with the dealing with Rabbi Eliezer, visiting Rabbi Eliezer. So Nichnas Horchanus Bano Lachlutz Tfilav. So Horchanus, his son, came to take off Rabbi Eliezer's tefillin, because the mitzvah's tefillin is not noeg b'Shabbos, and it was already atat. And the reason they were so delayed in doing this was because he was busy entertaining all of these guests. So Maseches Menachos, the Gemara derives and Daf Lamed Vav and Beis from the fact that the Torah says V'hayu la'os al yadechel t'tafos bein enecha. So we darshin that the only days that require an os require tefillin, but Shabbos, which itself is an os, and Yom Tov, which itself is an os, doesn't require the os of tefillin. So since Shabbos is not the zman tefillin, so Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanus, the son of Rabbi Eliezer, came to take off his tefillin, because if Shabbos is not the zman tefillin, there's an isur midrabanan to have tefillin on Shabbos. And the reason for that is, Rashi points out, is because we're afraid you might be yotzei b'hem l'Rosh HaSarabim, that if you keep your tefillin on Shabbos, you might go out to Rosh HaSarabim wearing these tefillin. And the tefillin is a masui. So Tosas raises the question that Rabbi Lazar was in his house. Well, why did he have to take off his tefillin? He wasn't going anywhere. He was sick and he was home. So Tosas explains that it's mevor in the Gemara, Masech Shabbos, Daf Samach Dalid, that whenever the Chachamim do not allow you to go out into Rosh HaSarabim wearing tefillin, so or wearing whatever the Chachamim say, you're not allowed to go out into Rosh HaSarabim with, even in a Chatzar and a Bayis, you're also not allowed to have these items on. For those doing Mishnah Berurah Daf Yomi, we just had to Mishnah Berurah Daf Yomi coincidence, because we just did that halacha in Shulchan Aruch this week, that whatever you're not allowed to go out into Rosh HaSarabim with, you're also not allowed to even have in the Chatzar or the Bayis. So he was in his Chatzar, he was in his courtyard, and therefore he was not allowed to have his tefillin on. Tos Yeshanim raises the question in the name of the Rav Yah that the Gemara Moed Katan has a suffix whether a menuda is mutter by nachas tefillin. Does someone who's in nidoy wear tefillin or not? So Tos Yeshanim raises the question. One thing we know about Rabbi Lazar was that he was a nidoy from the Gemara of Tanur Shalachnai. That's it's going to come up again in this Gemara that Rabbi Lazar, in the end of the day, had to be put in a nidoy because that whole Gemara where they argued about the tumah status of the Tanur Shalachnai and Kol Seh Beis Hamedrash Yochiach and let the river be Mochiach and it started going upstream, the whole thing. So from that whole story, he was a nidoy. And you see, he was wearing tefillin. So isn't this a raya that a menuda is mutter to wear tefillin? So the Ritva in Moed Katan, Tazvavan Beis, writes that even though the Gemara never answers the question over there whether a menuda is mutter b'tefillin or not, our Gemara answers the question, and he says that's the Derech Hashas. Divrei Torah aniyim b'makom echad, v'ashirim b'makom acher. Sometimes the Gemara doesn't tell the whole story in one place, and you look in another place in Shas, and you find the rest of the story. So the Gemara doesn't tell the whole halacha in Moed Katan. It raises a suffik in Moed Katan, and then Achinami in Maseches Sanhedrin were able to be poshet that suffik, and you see that a menuda taka wears tefillin. There's a tshuva in the Rivash in Simon Kufay and Gimel where he says, no, the Gemara was not poshet the suffik from the story of the Rabbi Eliezer because it's not such a great raya, because it could be that that Horkinus was the one taking off tefillin, meaning it could be we're reading the Gemara wrong over here. Not that Horkinus went to take off Rabbi Eliezer's tefillin, but Horkinus went to take off his own tefillin, and then we're going to have this conversation that ensues between Horkinus and his father Rabbi Eliezer. But it's not necessarily a raya that a menuda wears tefillin. However, the Cheshek Shlomo in Nida Dav Zayin points out that in the Yerushalmi, it's mefurash in the Yerushalmi, in the second parak of Shabbos, that after Rabbi Eliezer died, Rabbi Yeshua came in and took off Rabbi Eliezer's tefillin, and he was Megapapho and Menashko. So you see that Rabbi Eliezer Taka was wearing tefillin at the moment that he had died. So apparently, you at least see from the Yerushalmi that a Menuda Taka wears tefillin. So anyway, so Tzasimi Drabanan took out the Rosh Hashanah tefillin, so they went to take off Rabbi Eliezer's tefillin. That's the Pashas. Horkinus went to take off Rabbi Eliezer's tefillin. So Garbo, Rabbi Eliezer, got angry at his son, V'yatza bin Azifa, and he went out humiliated. Amar lehen l'chaveirav. So Horkinus said to the Rabbi Eliezer's chaveirim that came to visit him, Kumaduma anisha daita, meaning Rabbi Eliezer walked out in a huff. He was so angry that his son was trying to take off his tefillin. So Horkinus said to Rabbi Eliezer's chaveirim, Kumaduma anisha daita shalab anitrafa. It seems that my father is losing it. He's losing his mind, that he's getting angry about taking off his tefillin. Well, he doesn't know what day it is. He doesn't know. He doesn't realize that it's Shabbos. So Amar lehen. So his friend said to him. So he said to his chaverim, "Daito v'dasim on nitrufa." My son Horkinus, his das is nuts. His mother is losing her mind. That meaning, why would you say such a thing? Why pick on his mother all of a sudden? So he's saying that the point is, when Shabbos is coming, you have to light candles before Shabbos starts. So if you don't light candles on time before Shabbos starts, you can be mechal Shabbos in chiv skila. It's going to be a real chil Shabbos. So this is what he's busy with. He's busy with a chashash that maybe you'll go in a Rosh Hashanah Rav and wearing tefillin. Be busy with reminding your mother that you better light candles right now, that you better finish up the cooking, that you got to do the things that a melacha star rice before Shabbos starts. Heich menich and Nisr Skila, how could they set aside an Nisr Skila? Va'oskin Bisr Shvus, and they're busy with a Shvus? That's what he's so worried about. You have much bigger things to worry about. The Mishnah Berurah, when he talks about Hilchos Hadlakas Ner Shabbos, like over and over again, he repeats, and we have to be so, so careful to make sure that you don't run late on Hadlakas Ner Shabbos. You know, it's a mitzvah if you do it on time. You do it late, and it's an Nisr Skila, it's a Chiv Skila. Sometimes women are so connected to the need to light Shabbos candles, they don't realize that if you light a little bit late and it's a little bit too late, then you're risking an Isser Skila. So you have to make sure that you light on time. It's an important mitzvah. You have to make sure to light on time. So the Chacham realized he was not losing it. He was very sharp, meaning he knew exactly what he was talking about. So Nichnasu, they went in to sit with him. And they sat 4 amos distance from him. The Gemara in Bab Metzia, like we said before, on Daf Nun Tes, tells us that Reb Lazar was in a nidui. So the Chacham didn't want to go within his Dalet Amos. The reason he got that nidui is because he refused to accept the Hachra'ah of the majority of the Chachamim when it came to the Shaila shayla, the halachic shayla of the tara status or tuma status of a tanur shalach noi. The Iyun Yaakov raises the question that in Yeridaya and Simen Shin Lamedala, the Shulchan Aruch says that you're not allowed to go into a cheder where the menuda is sitting, even if you're dalet amos away from him, because the entire bias is considered, and the entire bias is generally considered to be arba amos. So if you're in the same room, so the whole room is considered arba amos. We rely on that very often when it comes to netilas yadayim in the morning. You're not supposed to go more than four amos to wash netilas yadayim in the morning. So why do a lot of people not have netilas yadayim next to their bed? Because they rely on the fact that the entire bias is considered arba amos. That if you're within walls, it's all considered arba amos. So how are they allowed to sit even more than arba amos away from him? They're in the same room with him. So in the sefer Maris Ha'ayin, he says, based on what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that Beis Din is allowed to be machmir and to be mekil when it comes to nidui lefira oseinei adayanim. Then in a chinami, there are rules, but those rules are flexible based on what Beis Din sees fit. We're assuming that they weren't really following the rules over here. I don't know. I thought maybe that's why the Gemara said that he was that they were sitting in the traklin and that he was sitting in this in a canopy, meaning a canopy you assume is a tzuras haPesach, and that's that cuts off a reshus b'fnei atzma. So they were sitting not in the same reshus as him. That's why the halacha is. I think we mentioned recently that when the Gemara tells us how to do kiddushin, the Gemara never tells us how to do nisuin. One of the prominent shittos in Rishonim is the way to do nisuin is that the husband is machnis the wife into his reshus. So the reshus is the chuppah. The chuppah is so that's Rav Shachtel explained. There's a Yerushalmi that says that that's true for a nisuin of a besula, but not for a nisuin of an almana. For an almana, it's not going under the chuppah is not enough. So Rav Shachtel thought that the pshat was that if you're in a room that has actual walls, so to just have a tzuras haPesach, maybe that's not considered a reshus b'fnei atzma when you're in an actual reshus with actual walls. But if you're outdoors, you're tachas kippas hashamayim, and you're having a chuppah outdoors, so then when you have a tzuras haPesach, it cuts off its own reshus. So the minhag was that by a nisun of a besula, it would always be tachas kippas hashamayim as a simin bracha that they should have many children. By a nisun of an almana, she's 60 years old, 70 years old, she's getting remarried. So you don't do tachas kippas hashamayim. They would do that indoors. It was always a smaller wedding, and it was always indoors. So if it was indoors, there's no hachnasal rishos when you bring under the chuppah. But when you're outdoors, there's hachnasal rishos. But anyway, that's what I thought. They were trying to explain that they're in the traklin, and initially they were in the traklin, but they came into the house to visit him. But they were allowed to be near him because he was in his own rishos. So anyway, Amar Lahan, Rav Lazar said to the Chum, Lama Basem, why did you come? Amar Lahu, Lilma Torah Banu. What do you mean, why did you come? You're such a big Talmud Chacham. We came to learn from you. Amar Lahan, Vadachshav Lama Lo Basem. So where have you been? So Amar Lahu, Lo Hayilanu Panai. They said, oh, we've been so busy with the kids and whatever, we just didn't have time to come. So the Yad Ramah writes, they were saying that Mipnei Kvodo, they didn't want to come because he was in Nidui. The Ramban points out that the Gemara Moed Katan Tezvav, when it talks about Nidui, says that a Menuda Shona V'Shonin Lo. You're allowed to. He's allowed to teach, and you're allowed to learn with him. You're allowed to teach him. So why was that a valid excuse? Asked the Ramban. So therefore, the Ramban writes that Reb Lazar was not in Nidui. He was in Cherim. Those are different things. There's a Nidui, a Shamta, and a Cherim. Those are different levels. The Gemara Moed Katan goes through the different levels, and someone who's in Cherim, maybe you're a low shona, a low shonin low. However, Tosas and Bamatzia Dafnun Tes says that no, he was in Nidui. So therefore the Kasha of the Ramban comes back. Why didn't they come up until that point? So the Rivash in the Tshuva Simon Kofayin Gimel, same Tshuva we mentioned before, says that if the Chum would have come to him to learn, they would have to be no egg like the din of a Menuda, meaning not within to not sit within Dalet Amos, etc. And just the way they would have behaved toward him would have been genai for him. So yeah, they're shona v'shonin lo, but it doesn't mean the nidui goes away. So you have to sit 4 amos away, and it's just disrespectful to interact with Rabbi Eliezer in that way. So that's why they hadn't come. But anyway, now that we're here, so Amalad and Rabbi Eliezer says, Tamiani im yamusu bisasatzman. I wonder if any of these chacham that are visiting me are going to die of natural causes. Amalad Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Eliezer, Shali mahu, what's the end of my life going to be like? Amalad, shalachal kashmi shalan. You're going to have the worst death of everybody. And kachava, obviously, that Rabbi Akiva was from the Arugi Malchus. So Natal Shtezros of Inichna Libo, he took his two arms and he placed them over his chest, over his heart. Amar Eilechem Shtezros, I shame Kishtei Sifrei Torah Sheniglalin. Woe unto my two arms that they're like two rolled up Sifrei Torah that nobody's able to read from them. And after I die, all this Torah is going to die with me. Harbe Torah Limadati, Vaharbe Torah Limadati. I learned much Torah and I taught much Torah. Harbe Torah Limadati, I learned much Torah from my Rebbeim. V'lo chasarti me rabosai, and I didn't take away from my Rebbeim's Torah knowledge. Afilu kekelav amalakik min hayam, even the amount that a dog licks up from the yam. So you have this vast yam, and the dog licks up a little bit. The yam looks just as big after the dog licks up as it did before. So my Rebbeim were just as big. They didn't lose anything from the discrepancy between the madrega of my Rebbeim and my madrega remained massive even after I learned from my Rebbeim. Harbe Torah limaditi, and I taught a lot of Torah to my Talmidim. V'lo chisruni Talmidi elakim mechal b'shvaferes, and the Talmidim didn't close that gap between me and them except for like the mechal b'shvaferes, the eyeliner. When you put the eyeliner stick into the eyeliner, it takes out just a tiny drop, but the tube still has the majority of the makeup inside of it. So it's ki'ilus, they took one stick of eyeliner and a little tiny drop came out on the stick, and the tube still has the majority of it. The gap between me and my madriga, my Talmidim's madriga, is still massive. Low ode, and only that, Shani Shana Shalosh Meir Salachos Baharas Aza, that I have 300 halachos in Hilchos Negoim, Veloya Adam Shashalani Ben Dover Me'olam, and no one ever asked me a shayla in Hilchos Negoim, meaning I became this great expert in Hilchos Negoim, and people don't learn it. It's like a Mason Mitzvah, no one learns these halachos. So no one ever asked me any of these shaylas. I learned 300 halachos, or some say 3,000 halachos, in the halachos of kishuv, when it comes to netias kishuv, and no one except Rabbi Akiva ever asked me about any of these halachos. And one time he and I were traveling, Amarli, and he said, Rabbi, lamdeni b'netias kishuv, and he said, Rabbi, teach me some of these halachos of kishuv relating to netias kishuin. So Amarti davar echad nesmal kol asad kishuin. I said something in the whole field filled with kishuin. Amarli, Rabbi, lamdeni netiasan. You taught me how they would plant kishuin using kishuv. Lamdeni akirasan. Tell me how they get rid of it. Amarti davar echad v'niskap tukul l'makom echad. I said something else, and boom, they all were piled up in one place. The Ben Yoyada suggests that the reason he mentions that we happen to have been walking, they were mahalchim Derek when this happened, was because he wanted to say that if they would have been sitting in the base manager in Yeshiva, Rabbi Kiva would have asked about Isser V'het, or he would have asked about Hilchos Shabbos, he would have asked about something else. It's only because they were Mahalik B'derek when they saw Sada Shel Kishuim that this came up. It wasn't the meat and potatoes that they were learning. It wasn't really what primarily you would learn from the Rabbi about. So Amr Loz, and that Maimid, the Chacham said to Rabbi Eliezer, HaKadur V'ha'imus V'ha'kameya V'tzror HaMargolis U'mishkolis Ketana Mahu, about different types of items that have a base kibul, but the base kibul is sewn shut. So what's the din? Do they have a din of Kabbalah's tumah or not? Do they have a din like a real kli that's mekabel tumah, or do they not have a din like a real kli that's mekabel tumah? Amar lahen, hein tamei in v'tarasin v'mashayin. He said that they're tamei, and I remain in my shita that a base kibul that's asir lemalus is called the base kibul, and in the case that those kelim get torn open, and now there's the ability to empty out the stuffing from them and to refill the refill the base kibul, then they're going to become tame, and you want to be mitar them b'tvila b'mikva, you don't need to empty out the stuffing before you dip them in the mikveh. You could be tovel them as they are, meaning even though there's stuffing inside of them, that's the way it's always meant to be. So they could even be told taras mashen. You could be tired of them. You could be matar them as is, which is a reference to a different machlokas between the Chum and Rabbi Lazar. That the Chum hold that now that they've been ripped open, they're makabel tuma. But before you put them in the mikveh, you need to take out all the filling and because the Chum hold that the milui itself, the filling itself, the stuffing itself of the pillow or whatever it is, whatever these kelim are, is a chatzitza. It does not become bottled to the ar. Rabbi Eliezer holds that the milui becomes bottled to the ar, and it's not a chatzitza, and therefore you could be tovel them kemo shehein. You could dip them in the mikveh as they are right now. Another machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chamim about a shoe that's on a form that shapes it, but you didn't yet take it off of the form. So is it mekabel tuma yet? So the Chamim hold that it's already had a gemar malacha prior to taking it off of the form that shapes it, and it doesn't require any further ma'isa uman. And Rabbi Eliezer holds that so long as you haven't taken it off of the form, so it did not yet have a gemar malacha. It's not yet mekabel tuma. So the Chum wanted to see if maybe Rabbi Eliezer changed his mind. So they asked him, minol shal gabe ha'imos, if you have the shoe that's on the form that shapes it, mahu, is that considered to be nigmar malacha where it's mekabel tuma? Amar lahen, hu tahar. He said, no, it's not a gemar malacha yet. It's still tahar. It's not mekabel tuma. V'yatzer nishmasa betara. And he died with that on his lips, with the word tahar on his lips. And the Yerushalmi says that after yatzer nishmasa, Rabbi Yeshua came and took off his tefillin and was megafo menashko, and he was bocha. He started to cry. The Sefer Chassidim writes that from the Maisa of Reb Lazar, you see that when someone is no talamos, you should speak in divrei Torah with him, so that his kedesh teitzei nafsho b'divrei Torah. You want his soul to leave with divrei Torah. That's the best way. That's the best way to go. The Aruch Lener quotes the Brisa in Avos Rabbi Nasan that says that he was Meshav al Tamei Tari Val Tar Tar Atriyasa Nishmaso Betara, that they were talking in Tumatara Dafka. That's the area of halacha they chose to speak to him about, and he was answering all the questions, and Yatsa Nishmaso Betara. And Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah tore Kriya at the time, and he started to cry, and he went out, and he said to the Chachamim that Bo Uber Rabbi Lazar Shetar Hu Liolam Abal Fishiyat Neshmaso Betara, that this is an indication, the fact that he said Tahar with his last word, that his neshama left with Tahara. So it sounds like they were Dafka asking him questions of Tumah and Tahara to set it up so that his last word could be one or the other, so that they would have an indication as to whether his Nidui is still ongoing after his death. So if his last word is going to be Tahar, that was going to be an indication that Yatsa Neshmaso Betara and that his Nidui is over. So Amad Rabbi Shua al-Raglav, Rabbi Shua got up and Va'amar, he said, Hutara Neder, Hutara Neder, that the Nidui against him is Hutar. The Matzoy Shabbos Pagubar Rabbi Akiva, and Matzoy Shabbos Rabbi Akiva encountered the Arun of Rabbi Eliezer when they were carrying it min Kisri Lulud, from Kisri to Lud, Hayamaka Bibsaru, and Rabbi Akiva started striking his own flesh because of Tsar Achidamo Shosis Laretz until the point that he was bleeding. So Pasach Halav, Rabbi Akiva started by saying a hespid on Rabbi Eliezer Bashura when he was standing in the shura around the mita, va'amar avi avi rechav Yisrael ufrashav harbe mos yeshli ve'en li shulchani la'artzosan. I have a lot of money, but I don't have a money changer to deal with it. Meaning, I have a lot of shaylas, and I have no one to ask my shaylas to anymore. This was the person that could handle any shayla, and now I don't have him anymore. Alma mer Rabbi Lazar gamra. Why do we quote this whole story? Because apparently Rabbi Akiva learned the halachos kishud from Rabbi Eliezer, not from Rabbi Yeshua. And we, in our Mishnah, made it sound like he learned all these things from Rabbi Yeshua. So says Gemara, Gemara me Rabbi Eliezer, v'lo savra, hadu Gemara me Rabbi Yeshua, v'azbra ne'alei. He originally learned it from Rabbi Eliezer, but he didn't understand the halachos. Then he learned them again from Rabbi Yeshua, and then he understood them much better. So, frankly, Gemara, hechi avir hachi, how could Rabbi Eliezer be notea kishuim and be okir kishuim through kishuv? Meaning a very fundamental question on this story. He was asking him, how does kishuv work? He said, I'll show you. And he did kishuv. How are you allowed to do that? You're not allowed to do kishuv, right? It's an isser. Yesterday's parsha. Va'anantanan. Doesn't the Mishnah tell us ha'os a ma'isa chayiv that if you do a ma'isa of kishuv, you're chayiv skila? So it says one of the Islami Chayni. When you need to learn what is kishuv, so that's different. And Reb Lazar did it in order to teach Rabbi Akiva. Da'amar mar, because after all, we already learned in Masechta Shabbos. The Torah says lo silmad lasos, but lasos yatalamad avlatalamad lahavin lahoros. That in a chinami is lo silmad lasos, but you're allowed to do in order lahavin lahoros, in order to know how to paskin, in order to know how to deal with shailas that relate to kishuv. So adron lach arba misos. And now, Baruch Hashem, we begin the eighth parak ben sorer. So says the Gemara. Says the Mishnah rather. Ben Soru Mora, a Ben Soru Mora, which, by the way, why are we talking about Ben Soru Mora right now? So it's obviously because the Mishnah that went through all the Chiyuvei Skila mentions Ben Soru Mora as one of the Chiyuvei Skila. So that's what the Rishonim point out over here, that the Tana really should have mentioned Ben Soru Mora as part of the last parak with all the other Niskalim, but since Ben Soru Mora has so many Dinim, so it doesn't mention Ben Soru Mora together with them, it mentions Ben Soru Mora separately. So Ben Soru Mora, Me'emus Ben Soru Mora. When does he become Ben Soru Mora? Mishiyavi Shtei Soru Satchiyakiv Zakein Tachton Veloa Elyon Elishtu B'cham Loshon Nekia. That he's first eligible to be of age to be a Ben Soru Mora when he has Shtei Soros, and the maximum age is Yakiv Zakan. What does Yakiv Zakan mean? It doesn't mean that he has a full beard. It means the Zakein Tachton Veloa Elyon. It's just that the Chum speak Veloshon Nekia, so it means that he has pubic hairs. Shenamar, because the pasuk said, or full hair. Shemar ki yel ish bein velobas. Pasuk says that a man has to have a son, or a man who's going to have a son that's been soru mora. So we darshan dafka a son and not a daughter. And bein velo ish, and also it means that he's got to be a bein, but not yet an ish. If he's already a full fledged ish, if he's already a fully grown man, then he's not eligible to be a ben soru mora. Why is it that a girl cannot be a ben soru mora? So the Miri says because girls are not women tend to be less balei taiva than men are. So since the whole issue of Ben Soru Mora is that he's going to be such a balei taiva, he's never going to control himself, and he's going to head down a path that there's no turning back from, that he's just going to get into habits that he's not going to be able to break. You don't have such a concern when it comes to a girl, that a girl is not going to have that same taiva. However, the Rishalmi says otherwise. The Rishalmi says everything about Ben Soru Mora is Gzeiras HaKasuv. None of it is any Tam Yadua. None of it is known to us why it is. And he says, the Rishalmi says, I'll give you examples. The Torah is Mechayev a Ben Velo Bas. Why not? A girl that's a Balas Taiva and that does all those same things, she's not going to turn out the same way. The Torah patterns him when he's an Ish. I would think when he's an Ish and he's already, this is who he is, meaning he's already a kid, could change. Well, when he's an Ish, I would think he'd be Mechayev him more. Third, the Torah patterns him when he's gone of Mishal Acherim. It has to be that he's going in Mishal Aviv. If he's going in from other people, why if he's going in from other people, should he not be a Ben Soru Mora? The Gemara is going to quote the Rabbi Shimon that says the name of Rabbi Shimon that Minadin, we should be Mechayev Abbas al Shem Sofa, because Adrabah, by Abbas, we should be more Machmir. Because if she's promiscuous, people are going to find her. Whereas the Ben, people aren't finding him. He's got to go out and find them. So you would think it's going to be even worse when it comes to Bas. So all of Ben Soru Mora is Gzeres HaKasuv, the Yerushalmi says. Okay, but that's the Gzeres HaKasuv, that it's Ben Velo Bas and it's Ben Velo Ish. Katan pater shaloba lechal mitzvos. A katan is pater from being a ben soru mora, meaning if he's not yet par mitzvah, because he's not yet par mitzvah, he's not included in mitzvos. So if he's not included in mitzvos, he's not going to be a ben soru mora. So says Mar katan minalan de pater. How do you know a katan is taka pater from being a ben soru mora? So says Mar, that is a funny question. Minalan kitikatani taima shaloba lechal mitzvos. We just said in the Mishnah he's not bar mitzvah. What do you want from the kid? He can't be included. He can't. He's not a baronchim yet. So of course, is he not going to punish him? Vesu, hecha ashkan da anush hakasuv da hachli bayu kral lemiftrei. And also, where else do you ever find that a katan ever gets an onesh that you need over here a special pasuk to pater ben soru mora, to pater a katan from being a ben soru mora? So Chidush Eran says, what exactly is the difference between the second kasha and the first kasha? Meaning, the fact that there's no onesh for a katan in Kol HaTorah is because he's not ba l'chal mitzvah. So the first question was, what are you talking about? He's not ba l'chal mitzvah. And the second question was, what are you talking about? Where do you ever find that a katan is a baronchim? Right, he's not a baronchim because he's not ba l'chal mitzvah. So what exactly is being added by the second question? So Chiddush Aran suggests that the Gemara thought that the fact that a katan is not ba l'chal mitzvah just tells me that there's no chi of misa. But it could be that Bezin could still punish him not because of his chi of misa, but in order to frighten other people, to let them know that this is not the way one behaves. So Gemara says, no, even an onesh that we would impose on someone for other reasons, for societal reasons, to get other people to behave, we don't even find we do that with a katan. So first of all, he himself doesn't deserve an onesh because he's a katan, he's not ba l'chal mitzvos. Second of all, even if you wanted to impose an onesh, not for him, because you can't do it, because for him, for his own sake, you wouldn't be allowed to do, but to teach a lesson to other people, we never find that we do such a thing either. In the Sefer Sanhedrin Ketana, he suggests that the Gemara in Nida tells us that Mufla Samach Le'ish, the halacha is that there are different stages where a person becomes a gadol, the gabe different things. So when it comes to Nedarim, a person's already a gadol before Bar Mitzvah in order to have the capacity to take Nedarim. When someone is a Mufla Samach Le'ish, he's already able to take Nedarim, and those Nedarim are going to be Chal Mida Oraisa. But if he himself were to violate that neder, he doesn't get an onesh because he's not a bar mitzvah. So then, what does it mean that the neder is going to be chal? It means that if he's makdish something, he makes something hegdish, so it's actually hegdish. So if someone else goes and gets hanah from it, that other person has violated me'ila because he has the capacity to turn it into hegdish, and that's how the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Nedarim. So maybe what the Gemara means to ask is, first of all, the katan zachayev mitzvahs, and even if you find that there are certain dinim that a katan can effectuate, like mufla samach le'ish, can have a neder, nevertheless he's not going to be nenash because he's not a baronchim. So it's those two stages. Just like by Mufla Samach Le'ish, we see the division of those two stages, that he has the status of an ish legabe taking the neder, but when it comes to his own onesh, he's not going to be chayiv any onesh for it. So anyway, so the Gemara's question over here is, why do I even need the Mishnah to tell me? Why do I need a limud, rather, that ish velo katan, if it's obvious that a katan's never chayv in anything? No. What we meant to ask is, atu ben soru mora al cheto nerag? You think a ben soru mora is killed for his chet? He's only killed, meaning he didn't do anything for which one is chayv misa. What did he do? He ate some meat, he drank some wine, and there's no chayv misa for that. Al shem sofo nerag. He's only killed for what he's going to do, because we're looking at the path he's heading down, and we don't think he's able to get off of that road. He's on a direct train to a very, very terrible place, and we don't want him to get there. So the Torah says, "Mutav sheyamu zakai v'lo yamu schayiv." V'kivin dal shem sofo nerag. And since anyway he's getting killed for what he's going to do, afilu katanami. Well, by that token, he doesn't have to be chayiv yet. And even a katan should be killed to prevent him from getting to that point. Va'od. Another reason why we need a pasuk to be memayid a katan from Ben Sora Mora, the Bein Velo Ish Katan Mashma. Ben Velo Ish, Ben sounds like a Katan. Meaning, if I have a drasha that says Ben Velo Ish, that once he's an adult, he can't be a Ben Sora Mora, so I would assume that that means that when he's a Katan, he can be a Ben Sora Mora. So that's why I need a drasha to tell me that a Katan cannot be a Ben Sora Mora. So that's the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Dom Rav. So Rabbi Dom Rav says, we learned that that the Katan doesn't have a Ben Sora Mora, Dom Makrak, because the Pasuk says, V'chia Le'ish Ben. The connection between the words ish and bain tells me that the bain, soru mora, has to be the type of bain that is almost an ish, that he's right at the doorstep of being an ish. So that's how I know that it has to be that he already has shtei sa'aros, but he doesn't have a hakafa zakana tachton. Tosos raises the kasha in Dibra Maskul Ben in the top Tosos over here. He raises the kasha, why does the Tana of the Mishnah have to say that a katan doesn't become Ben Sora Mora because he's not Baluchal Mitzvos, if the real reason is the Josh of Rebuda, the Ben Asamach Lugvarasa Shalish, meaning that it's only when he has Shtei Saros, when he's Yaakov Zakan. So why would you say that he's not, because he's not Baluchal Mitzvos? I don't care if he's not Baluchal Mitzvos. He's Nidon Al Shem Sofo anyway. So the real reason is the Drasha. So Tosos says, had it not been for the the Tana telling me a katan is not a bar mitzvah, Rabbi Yehuda would not have known to darshan that the zman that samach l'gvuraso shalish only begins when he has shtei saros. I might have thought it started earlier. That erech hanami ben ish tells me that when he's close to being an ish. How close? I don't know. Maybe it means when he's 11 years old. Maybe it means when he's 9 years old. Maybe 9 years old he's a barbia, right? It could be any age that's somewhere around bar mitzvah. So that's why it has to tell me that no. So it's dafka ben samach l'gvuraso shalish that the starting point is shtei saros. So I need the Mishnah to tell me that it's got to be that he's bar l'chlal mitzvos, and I need this drasha of ben ish. And then we said, and he's only eligible to be a Ben Sarumora up till he gets to the age of Yaakov Zaken Atachton. So Tani Rabbi Chiya taught a braisa that Achi Yaakov Atara, that it means that the Zaken Atachton surrounds the Atara, so of the Aver. So it still doesn't, it's still not abundantly clear what that means. So Kiyas Ravdimi, when Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he explained Amar La Kafas Gid. He said it means that it surrounds the gid that's near the beitzim, v'lo kafas beitzim, but not that the beitzim themselves have to be full of hair. That comes at a much later stage. Amar chista katan shaholid. If a katan has shtei saros and he's able to be molded, he's able to have a child. Ein bino nasa ben sorumora. The child of the katan is ineligible to be a ben sorumora when he grows up. Shnemar ki li ishben v'lo ben ben. That part of it is that part of the qualification to be a ben sorumora is that the father needs to be an ish. But if it's a ben to someone who's not an ish, who's only a ben himself, then the child is not a ben sorumora. So the Gemara asks, well, wait a second. V'haymi ba'ilil chadavidam rav. Is that what we learn from the connection between the words ish and ben? That it's got to be the ish ben v'lo leben ben? Didn't we already darshan from the liish ben, v'chiyah liish ben, that it's got to be ben asamach l'gvuraso shalish, that it's got to be after shtei sa'aros? So how can you have two drushes from the same words? So says Mar Im Kain, if ish was only about what Rav Yudom Rav said, that it's got to be samach l'gvuraso shalish, le'makra kiyah ben liish. The pasuk could have said, Kia ben liish, could have flipped the words around. Ben coming first, and that would imply that when the ben is coming into the category of an ish, when he's getting close to the category of an ish, that's when he becomes a ben sorer. My kia liish bein, shema mina lich the Rav Chista. From the fact that it says liish bein, so therefore we learn, like Rav Chista says as well, that the word ish is talking about the father of the ben sorer amora. So frankly, marveima kuli lach yudasa. Maybe that's all the pasuk is teaching me, like Rav Chista said, to tell me that the son of a katan is not a ben sorer amora, but maybe it's not exempting a katan himself from being a ben sorer amora. So says Marno, kazim kei neimakra bein ish. My li-ish ben, it should have said ben-ish, which sounds like the son of an ish. Why does it say li-ish ben? Why does it have to say the word ish first and then add the letter lamid? Shema mina tarti. So you see that there are two drushas to be made. One drusha is that that he's got to be, he's got to have shtei sa'aros, and the other drusha is that the father of the ben sorer amora had to have been an ish at the time. Now the need to tell me that that ish v'lo katan, that the father has to be an ish and the father cannot be a katan, implies that it's a physical possibility that the father would be a katan. So says Maru pliga de Rabba, that assumption of Rav Chista is against Rabba. To Amar Rabba, katan ain't a molid. Rabba holds a katan doesn't have the capacity to father a child. Shneimar imein liish goel. The pasuk says about someone who has a monetary taina that against someone else that he had stolen from him, and the person who the claim is made against says lahadam, I don't know what you're talking about, and he swears that nothing ever happened and they didn't steal any money, and then the gazlan later admits that he had stolen, so he has to pay keren chomesh, he has to bring karban asham. So if the tovea dies after the gazlan swears and there's no yorish to give the gzela back to with the chomesh, so you give it to a kohen. So right, mainly ish goel, so then you give that money money to the Kohen. V'chiyesh chadam Yisrael shein l'goel. Is there any Jewish person that doesn't have any relative that can yarshen him? Just go far enough back the generations, you'll find a relative. Ela b'gez el ager, kasam adabra. Must be, we're talking about a ger who doesn't have any yarshim. So the pasuk is talking about a person who steals something from a ger who doesn't have yarshim. The ger was tovea the gazela. The gazlan swore that lahadam, and then the ger dies, and the gazlan is moda that he swore falsely. So now the gazlan has to pay the keren and the chumash to a kohen. Va'am rachman, and the Torah says ish. It says imain ish govel. It doesn't say imain lo govel. So we darshan that only if the ger is an ish at tzarich lachzor lav miyesh lo govel inim lav. That if the ger was an ish, he was already an adult, then you need to make sure that he doesn't have any relatives, because it's possible that he has a son. After he was megayer, he could have fathered a child, and then you're going to have to give that child the keren and the chomesh, and not to the kohen. But katan, iyat tzarich lachzor alav. If the ger was a katan, you don't need to be mevarer, does he have any relatives or not? But you do a shein lo goalin. He can't have any goalin, because he doesn't have any children. So you see that that's the shita of Rabbah, that Rabbah holds that someone who's a katan is unable to have any children. So Rav Chista is against the shita of Rabbah. Okay, so Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Eisvei Abaye. Abaye is going to challenge that shita of Rabbah. Everyone have a wonderful day.